Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building a jungle-style riser in Ableton Live 12, and the big idea here is simple. We're not just making a sweep, we're designing tension that actually belongs in a drum and bass arrangement. A good jungle riser should feel aggressive, rhythmic, and musical. It needs to build pressure before the drop, move with the groove instead of floating on top of it, and leave enough space so the drums and bass can hit like a truck when the drop lands. We're going to do this using stock Ableton devices only, and we'll shape it like a proper build element for a dark, heavy jungle or rolling DNB track. So think of this less like a special effect, and more like part of the arrangement engine. Let's start by setting up the timeline. Open Ableton Live 12 and work at your track tempo. For jungle and drum and bass, 170 to 174 BPM is a really solid range, and 174 is a great default if you want that classic high-energy feel. Go into Arrangement View and create a build section. 8 bars before the drop is a very practical starting point, and if your track needs more space, extend that to 16 bars. Mark the key points in the arrangement so you can think clearly about the flow, where the build begins, where the tension starts pushing harder, and where the drop lands. That makes your automation decisions way easier. Now let's build the first layer, which is the noise layer. This is the top-end tension that gives the riser its lift. On a MIDI track, load operator or analog or wavy-table if you prefer. For this first layer, operator is great because it can generate noise cleanly. Set oscillator to noise, then add auto filter after it. Use a high pass or band pass filter, and start with the cutoff fairly low. Over the course of the build, automate that cutoff upward so it opens from roughly 300 to 800 Hz at the start all the way up to around 8 to 12 kHz by the end. That movement is what creates the feeling of escalation. Add a little resonance, maybe 10 to 25%, just enough to give the sweep some bite. Then put saturator after the filter and give it a light push, maybe 2 to 6 dB of drive. If the sound has any width or stereo content, utility can help keep it stable. In most cases, you want the low-end mono anyway, but with a noise layer, the main thing is just not to let it get messy. Why does this work? Because the noise fills the top end and creates urgency without stepping on the bass line. In jungle and DNB, the low end is already doing a lot of work, so the riser needs to stay out of that zone. Now let's add a tonal layer. This is the part that makes the riser feel musical instead of just noisy. Load wavy-table on a second MIDI track. Choose a simple waveform, something like a saw, a square, or a slightly hollow wavy-table. Play a sustained note or program a rising note line. For a two-bar riser, you might start on something like G1, then move up through A1 and B1, and finish higher on D2 or F2. If you want a smoother, more dramatic rise, use glide or portamento so the pitch slides. If you want it tighter and more rhythmic, program the movement with MIDI note changes every half bar. That's a really useful choice. Smooth for atmosphere, stepped for urgency. Shape this layer with auto filter as well, opening the cutoff as the build progresses. Keep the attack fairly quick, but not too clicky, and let the release breathe a bit depending on how long you want the tail. Add a little saturator for density, and if the synth feels too clean or polite, a tiny bit of redux can add edge. Don't overdo it, though. You want tension, not fuzz for the sake of fuzz. Now comes the part that really makes this feel like jungle. Rhythmic motion. A riser that just sits there and swells can sound weak in a DNB context. Jungle loves movement inside the tension. One of the easiest ways to do that in Ableton is autopan. Drop it on the riser track and set the phase to 0 degrees if you want volume tremolo instead of actual left-right panning motion. Then automate the rate so it gets faster as the build approaches the drop. A nice progression is half note, then quarter note, then eighth note, and finally 16th note right before the drop. The amount can sit anywhere from 30 to 80% depending on how intense you want it. You can also use gate if you want a more chopped up, aggressive feel. That's especially useful if you want the build to feel more like a dark neuro jungle or hard edited roller. The point is to make the riser pulse with the track, not just hover above it. Now let's talk about the real emotional shape of the riser, the filter automation. This is where you should think like a build engineer. The filter is what tells the listener here it comes. On each layer, automate the cutoff upward. You can also increase resonance slightly and push drive a little harder over time. If you're using echo or reverb, you can automate the wet mount up as well. But don't make everything move at the same speed. That's a really important tip. Think in layers of urgency, not just volume. One layer can brighten quickly, another can widen slowly, another can get more distorted, and another can become more rhythmic. That way the build feels alive instead of robotic. A good shape is slow movement in the first half, then a faster opening in the second half, and then a very aggressive final bar. In Ableton, use automation breakpoints so the curve accelerates rather than rising in a flat line. That acceleration makes the drop feel much more powerful. Now let's control the energy with some dynamics processing. Put saturator, glue compressor and limiter on the riser bus if needed. Glue compressor is great for tying the layers together. Keep the attack around 3 or 10 milliseconds, release on auto or around 0.3 seconds, and use a 2:1 or 4:1 ratio. You're usually only looking for 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction. The goal is cohesion, not squashing. Saturator can add density and a little attitude. Soft clip can help if the high end gets spiky. Just remember, in jungle and DNB, the top end needs to feel exciting, but it can't turn brittle. Next, let's add some space. Reverb and echo can make the riser feel huge, but you have to be careful not to wash out the transition. A reverb decay somewhere around 1.2 to 3.5 seconds can work, with a short pre-delay of 10 to 30 milliseconds. Keep the low cut fairly high so the low mids don't cloud the build, and trim the high end if it gets too shiny. For echo, try a delay time like eighth note or dotted eighth with moderate feedback and some filtering to keep it controlled. The trick here is to automate the wet amount upward during the build, then cut it hard right before the drop. That sudden removal of space makes the drop feel bigger. It's a classic move, and it works every time. Now let's sequence the riser musically, because arrangement matters just as much as sound design. For an 8-bar build, a strong structure could be this. The first two bars are subtle, with noise and low synth motion. Bars 3 and 4 open up more and introduce stronger pulse. Bars 5 and 6 can add another harmonic layer or an octave rise. Bars 7 and 8 should be the brightest and most intense part, with delay and reverb pushing harder. Then, in the final quarter bar, cut almost everything except a tail and let the drop slam in. For jungle, this works best when it locks into the drum phrasing. Try opening the riser just after a snare fill, intensifying it as the break edits get busier, and peaking right before the first hit of the drop. That way it feels connected to the breakbeat instead of pasted on top of it. A lot of producers miss this. The riser is not the climax. It's the setup for the climax. Don't let it do the drop's job. That means you should leave some nastiness for the first bar after the drop. If the riser already sounds like the biggest moment in the track, the drop loses impact. Save a little energy for the downbeat. Right before the drop, add a short impact element if needed. A reverse crash, a sub drop, a noise hit, or a sliced break fill can all work. One of the most effective tricks is to let the riser peak. Cut everything for a tiny instant, and then hit the drop with drums and bass. That micro gap can make the whole thing feel way harder. Once everything sounds right, group the riser layers and route them to a bus. On that bus, use EQ8, glue compressor, saturator, and maybe utility. With EQ8, high pass around 120 to 250 Hz so you keep the low-end clutter out of the way. If there's harshness in the high mids, clean up a narrow area around 3 to 5 kHz. If it feels dull, a gentle boost in the air band around 8 to 10 kHz can help. This is a really important mix principle in drum and bass. The riser should never fight the kick and sob. The drop needs room to hit. Let's cover a few common mistakes, because these come up a lot. First, too much low end in the riser. That will fight the bass and kick, so high pass aggressively on the riser layers, often above 150 or even 250 Hz. Second, no rhythmic movement. A flat riser can sound amateurish in jungle. Use autopan, gate, MIDI rhythm, or automation changes to keep it alive. Third, overlong reverb tails. Big atmosphere is cool, but if it smears the drop, it's hurting you. Keep the reverb filtered and cut it before impact. Fourth, linear automation. A straight filter rise often sounds weak. Make it accelerate. Fifth, too many layers doing the same thing. Give each layer a role. Noise for brightness, synth for tone, gate for motion, effects for space. And sixth, not checking it in the full mix. A riser can sound enormous on its own and disappear once the drums and bass come in. Always test it in context. If you want darker, heavier DNB energy, here are a few pro moves. Use distortion like a weapon. Saturator, overdrive, pedal, or very light redux can make the riser feel hostile without turning it into mush. Widen only the top layer. Keep the core movement tighter and use width on the noise or high synth layer. That keeps the build punchy while still feeling huge. You can also sidechain the riser lightly to the drum so it breathes with the groove. That's especially useful if the riser continues under break edits. And for the final bar, push the energy harder than the rest. Faster autopan, more filter opening, more drive, more delay feedback, then a quick reverse or fake out before the drop. That last bar should feel like it's almost losing control. If you want to get more jungle authentic, try adding tiny breakbeat fragments under the riser. A sliced amen hit, a ghost snare, or a reversed break piece can add that DNA without turning the transition into a full drum fill. Here's a quick practice exercise you can try after this lesson. Build a 2-bar jungle riser at 174 BPM using only stock Ableton devices. Make one track with operator noise and a second track with wavy double holding a sustained note. Automate the filter cutoff upward, increase auto pan rate from half note to 16th note, raise saturation slightly, and bring in reverb before cutting it off right at the drop. High pass both layers and listen to the result with drums and bass in context. Then adjust the final quarter bar until the drop feels explosive.